Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 172, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Thursday, February 18th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm gonna take you by surprise and show you my white thighs, Baja Blast. I'm gonna drink you right away, can't wait another day, Baja Blast. I'm gonna open up your can and make you understand, Baja Blast. I love do. That is courtesy of Abstrusel, official dickhead, on Twitter. Very sexual ode to Baja Blast. And I am thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Sorry, gonna need it. I need an instrumental for this one. You know, because fuck this racist. He can't even live. You know what I mean? Oh, who are we talking about? Oh, baby, fuck Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, baby, fuck Rush Limbaugh. Oh, baby, fuck Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, baby, fuck Rush Limbaugh. Shitty, shitty news for your boy, Miles Gray. About to say, psych, what a wonderful day. Okay, that resting garbage racist Limbaugh. Wow. I read things like a pioneer.
Yeah.
Okay, pioneering.
Talk radio, pioneer.
The racist vitriol. Mm. Anyway, so shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man, coming in one more time with that wonderful AKA. Thank you.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Danny Fernandez.
I'm here.
She's here.
There you are.
I don't have I always sing my AKAs. Mine was going to be Dan.
The Dan DeLorean.
I love when everyone called him the Dad DeLorean. And now those are his roles now, because he's in the Last of Us thing. Now he's like the begrudgingly, you know, good dad.
Last of Us felt, I was like, I can't believe I didn't think of that. Because like when I saw it, I was like, yes, yes, exactly.
Wait, what are we talking about? Oh, Pedro Pascal is going to be in the movie.
Or this is it a series or?
Oh, is it a series? Oh, maybe it's a series
or whatever it is. There's
but
so
you're
many
saying you news. Can't believe you didn't HBO think of series. What
that as Pedro that, Pascal in that role.
Got
as
it,
Joel.
Yeah, of course.
of course, I mean Jack, it was right in front of you, man.
Right, it was right in front of us something. The whole damn time. I feel like I'm in Usual Suspects right now, just putting all the pieces together. Yeah, he's kind of popping up everywhere, and will. Feels like somebody I will never get tired of seeing.
No.
Dig him.
Because, I mean, for you, I like when I watch things like old stuff from the early aughts and 90s, I'm like, Pedro Pascal has been, he's been out here.
Yes.
But like, you know, I'm like, oh shit, he was in Buffy or these other things. You realize he was working. But then I'm like, in my mind, he really didn't get pop until he was Oberyn Martell. And I'm not sure if like there were performances before that that had people being like, no, Pedro Pascal is a thing. But that I'm wondering if everyone's on the same page where that was truly my introduction to him was through Game of Thrones. I don't know.
Oh,
I think Narcos might have been
Narcos.
Mine.
I feel like is people's. Yeah.
But I was mean, that, I definitely it might have been like right around the same time. I definitely should have recognized him from Game of Thrones, but he was kind of so different. And like there was a he did a weird thing in Narcos where like at first you didn't know what to make of his character and him as a performer at first. For me, I was like, huh, is this guy a really good actor or like kind of weird and not acting? And then he just like ends up being incredible in the role. But yeah. He's dope. All right, Danny, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about student debt forgiveness. We're going to talk about the Republican Civil War, just a quick check-in with that. We're going to talk about Texas, the mayor who told everybody what, you know.
I mean,
what,
no lies detected.
Yeah, yeah.
Told
everybody the truth about the American ethos. We're going to talk about member of Zeitgang reached out to us from San Antonio just to tell us what it looks like on the ground there. We also got some New York Times reporting, some Houston Cron reporting. So lesser sources also confirmed the reporting from Zeitgang. We'll talk about Fox News' decade-long war against wind power. That is the story that first came out. They managed to get it bubbling up. At first it was like, well, all the wind turbines are frozen. So what are we going to do? And then it slowly comes out. That's not actually what's happening. We'll talk about Rush Limbaugh, pioneer. I just want to like read some of his words, to kind of memorialize him. We'll talk about that Cruella trailer. We'll talk about Parler being back, all of that, plenty more. But first, Danny, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
My search was the truth about Dolly Parton's 11 siblings.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I'm obsessed with Dolly Parton. I love her. Wait, what
so
were you going to say?
My search terms like come across like I have... like I've suffered some sort of head trauma. I'm like Dolly Parton, 11 siblings has ? But
has?
Yours,
you, she can you, has 11 your siblings.
Your search is like straight up like a clickbait headline.
It's like Dateline NBC.
Yeah, that's true.
The way you read it, I thought you just straight up copied the text of a clickbait, like you know,
it
bullshit
is.
Ad, and then you just Googled. Oh, okay. I thought you were just. That's just how you search shit. I'm like, this
the
is
the truth about
riveting.
Dolly Parton. I forgot.
Wait, so
but
what happened? What is this?
No,
thing?
It's just she has. I'm listening to her audiobook, which is amazing. She has one on Audible, which it goes through all of her songs. She talks about, and it's her talking. She talks about the history behind all of her songs. And if you just love Dolly, and like she just sounds like someone's sweet aunt that's right. like offering you sweet tea and giving you a hug, she's amazing. Mm. Aside from all the things she did during this pandemic and the Black Lives Matter protest, she's just an amazing woman. But yeah, so she was talking about her pa and her siblings, and she like kept rattling names off. I'm like, well, how many siblings does this woman have? She's 11.
What?
And it's wild, and she's just done so much philanthropy with all of her money. And also her husband. People don't know this. She's been married once to the same man since like the 60s. But you never see him.
Yeah.
She's figured that out. That's the secret to... So he's just a millionaire with her, living it up in their mansion. Whenever she comes home, he's there. That's her stay-at-home husband.
Damn, so, the photos of him are great.
There's barely any.
I know. It's like three from the 80s, mm-hmm. yep. two from the 70s, and then like the last one must have been from like 2004.
He just stays off, you know? But it's really funny in the book, you guys, she's like, everyone thinks I had an affair with such and such, or everyone thinks I slept with so and so, and I'm not saying anything, but like, you guys can think, so I'm like, girl, I think it's funny when people don't confirm, like, it would be like, of course I didn't, but she didn't say that. So I'm like, I wonder if he's chill, like, as long as he gets to be a multimillionaire with her, if he's like, sure, have an affair with Burt Reynolds or whatever. People think that she had an affair with like multiple different men that she's worked with, but I mean, maybe she has.
She's actually, these are Carl's birthday wishes for me.
As long as he gets to, you know, get some pictures.
Smell the sheets after.
Wow.
Yeah, the pictures of him are dope, especially like from the 70s and 80s.
And the later ones too, because you're like, this motherfucker must be cool as shit because he looks like a fan taking a photo and she's loving it. In a way, it makes you more curious, but that's the real power. Like, people who don't share shit, they have it figured out, because that's truly like the last thing you can keep to yourself is your privacy.
Yeah.
Without like going full throttle into like the, look at me, take a photo of me over here, this is my, that shit. Yeah. Like it burns out. And I think it only just magnifies her, you know, the mystique around it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dolly Parton's got secrets, and that's what makes her cool. Secret husband, secret tattoos, although not secret as many siblings. As people think. Secret 11 sibling.
Wow.
Yo.
Do you think people go out there and lie that they're one of Dolly Parton's like nieces or nephews way? Like people say they're related to Bob Marley? Because that's the one you always hear, oh, you know, that's Bob Marley. That's like the third cousin of Kaimani Marley. Because there's so many Marley kids. I wonder how many, like, if that's the same thing out in Appalachia.
I hear that with Disney, because a lot of people have that last name, or like they're more than you would think, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so does that mean that they're all related to Walt Disney? Because that's a pretty unique last name. Is everyone that has the last name Disney related to Walt Disney? I don't know.
Chime in. Let us know.
Zeikang with the last name Disney.
Yeah. Also let us in the Club 33.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. We're actually going to talk about it. But for me, is the South. I think, especially because I live now in LA, I think a lot of like quote unquote coastal elites or whatever, which people always lob at me, and I'm like, I literally grew up in Frisco, Texas. Like, I don't know why you're using this term. Also, I think Texas is the South. I want to go on record by saying that. I don't know. I don't understand how it's not considered the South when one of its cities is like the most southern place in America. quite literally the South. But it's not considered the South for a lot of people. So I find that fascinating. I guess it's its own little, we've always thought of ourselves as like this little, I don't know, Wild West, like not West, I guess, but Wild South country. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think a lot of people think of the South as being racist. And what they don't realize is that it's very, very, very diverse. Especially Texas, if you look at the Latino and Black population there. And so I think it's a little insane, and I'm sure we'll tackle some of that when we talk about Texas, but the South is heavily diverse. So I think just chalking up all of those states to white racist people is not cool.
Right.
So yeah.
It also underrates how extremely racist northern states are.
Yes.
Yeah, because everyone's, it's like the same the way, you know, the U.S. like thumbs their noses at like burgeoning socialist countries that they overthrow. And they're like, you see what happens over there? Like, you need that, you sort of need that base of comparison to put yourself at another place. Like, it's so sloppy over there. Ignore the part that we're engineering the downfall of it. But that's why you don't want that. And we always need someone relative to it. It's just human nature, you know, baby. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's because a lot of people don't think of it as like, I feel like a lot of people's definition of the South is so tied to the Civil War Mm-hmm. But then, like, most people don't realize, like, you know, Texas seceded from the Union, too. And, right. like, that's, like, a, I don't know, like, I feel like that's always the idea that I always evoke when I think of the South, which is why, like, for whatever reason, I compartmentalize or think Texas is different, mostly because Texans I know tell me it's different.
Right. Yeah. It, I mean, it, but also, like, a lot of that land was Mexico, and, right. like, a lot, like, a lot of the Black population that was forced to be there is still, that has, like, you know, bought a home, like, have several generations there. And so, mm-hmm. like, to just chalk it all up to white people is just not true, is frankly not true. And so I'm just really tired of, like, when anything happens to the South that, you know, liberal or you know, people in East and West Coast are like, well, you deserve that because you guys are red states or whatever. And I think that that's gross, but I also think that that's not true.
Right.
If you I saw people, so much of the voters.
I saw people talking about that on Twitter, like responding to a comment that I hadn't seen the original comment, but basically being like, I don't think people should actually die because they live in a southern, like, red state. Was that, like, a sentiment that was going around? Like,
I guess it was. I had tweeted yesterday about some of my, because a lot of my high school classmates are still in Texas, and so I was tweeting some of what they're going through right now.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I was just saying that it is diverse as fuck, and I think people were dunking on Ted Cruz. I think because Ted Cruz made fun of Californians when we were going through a crisis,
yeah.
And so I think people were dunking on using his own words. However, it spun out into, it was literally people telling Texans, like, go F yourself, and it was from liberal people. So it was really wild that us, you know, our side that considers itself progressive, you know, does that, and yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we can get into that more with Texas. I have some stuff to say about the Texas stuff because I do have friends that are, like, also on the ground there and some of their experiences that they're dealing with. So,
yeah, I think the in-group, out-group sort of dynamic of, you know, looking down on Southern people, looking down on, you know, people who are into culture like NASCAR and shit like that is probably one of the larger biases that doesn't get addressed as mm-hmm. much in mainstream culture. And I think also, like, probably on shows like this, that, like, there's probably that part of the country and that part of culture gets painted with a single brush. And
yeah,
it's probably more diverse too in terms of how people think. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. This is a double negative, but not wearing makeup. Even though I'm not wearing makeup right now and y'all can see that, I think it's like all, there was like this huge okay. push, which I get it, to like be natural and like all these, like, you know, no filter, no makeup, like whatever. Like I'm not, and I'm like, but makeup makes me feel good. And like it's there. A lot of my friends are makeup artists. And so I think it's so weird when guys are like, guy, like, you know, that thing, that meme that'll go around and it'll be like, make sure you take her in the pool on the first date, or like,
oh my,
you know what
God.
I'm talking about? No. Miles, have you seen those?
Yeah, so you could see him in a bathing suit.
Yeah, no, you dummy.
Oh, whoa, what are you talking about?
Make sure you take it's her. Like,
no, I know, it's, yeah, just that talk shoe, like, because you gotta know, dude.
Yeah, yeah, you got to
show. There's so many memes that it's like what they look like in the club.
Yes.
And then what they look
yes.
like, blah, blah. It's like, get the, okay, uh-huh.
Look, like, I don't, also, like, and I adore, like, the people, some of the celebrities that'll do, like, the no makeup challenge or whatever. I'm like, you're literally, but you also have, like, thousands of dollars worth of skincare. Right. Like, you know what
right.
I mean? And so,
yeah.
I don't know. I love makeup, and I love, like, my friends that are makeup artists. It makes me feel really good, and it's really therapeutic. It's like, you know, like 30 minutes, you can just do nothing and kind of, like, paint. It's honestly, like, painting.
Yeah.
Like, and it's really, you know, some people do it in such, I follow a lot of cosplayers that do it in such an artistic way. But anyways, I was going to say, I get it. As long as you're not being, like, toxic to people where you're trying to, like, that's what right. I feel people try to do with me. And I don't even wear a lot, but people will try to shame you about, like, you know, you don't need makeup or whatever. Like, I'm just tired of people
don't wear makeup, or you don't realize you don't need makeup.
Yeah, like, and I'm what? Like, but I did, like, that's, just tell me it looks good, you know, or whatever. Right. I don't know. So that's my thing that I think is over, is, like, everyone saying, like, be natural, whatever. And it's like, okay, cool, if you want to be. Yeah. But some of us like, and some people, like, that's literally my friend's professions. That's their careers. They get hired right. to do that. And so, and they love it. So anyways.
Yeah. It's so anti-makeup artist is what it is.
Yeah.
Anti-MUA.
I'm down you know? For makeup. I love makeup. So. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I think that's
every time. Yeah, Jack and I just can't dial in our makeup application as much as we'd like. We're trying to use a beauty blender. It's not.
Well, I'm literally not wearing any right now because mm-hmm. y'all have seen me so much, and I don't care. But yeah. if I did put it on for you, and you were like, "Wow, that looks beautiful," that would be nice. It doesn't have to be. Oh, Danny, you don't need it.
Right,
though.
Right. Rather than like, what are you doing with all that makeup on? You're cute and don't need it. It's like, what kind of thing is that to say to anyone right now?
People are wild.
Yeah. Well, people must let you know they have an opinion too.
Yes.
It's like, okay, that's fine, but I don't need it.
Oh, it feels like it's. Of a piece with the you're beautiful because you don't know how beautiful you
yes!
are thing that's like in pop music. It's like, fuck off, man. Like, what are you talking
about? So hot and you don't even know it.
Oh. But that is a
it's
whole
a secret
meme
for
of,
me to exploit.
That is a meme.
I like that you have low self-esteem.
What the fuck?
About like taking her in the pool or whatever. Like, and I'm like, you just sound so toxic and gross. Like, oh, maybe that's why you're single. And like, if a girl got all dolled up for me, I would feel very special.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'd be like, all that energy? And I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm wearing a sweatsuit. I'm sorry for that. But yeah, those are the same people. That Venn diagram is a circle where it's people who post that meme and the same dudes who say females.
Yes, that's true.
It's also not like a subtle like life hack. It's not like, here's how you can.
It's
hey, girl, you want to go swimming?
It's misogynistic bullshit.
It's fucking
like,
February. What are you talking about?
They're like, deceptors, bro. You got to verify. Like, okay, look, just because like what your parents' marriage ended because of a lack of communication doesn't mean that's how all people work.
Mm. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and let's talk about student debt forgiveness. One of the other Joe Biden promises.
That'd be cool, huh?
Yeah. Anyway,
a lot of people been talking about it. A lot of people. That'd be cool, huh? All right, moving on. Exactly. Pretty much what Joe Biden did. You know, a lot of people, progressives, been saying $50,000 in student debt relief would go a hell of a long way for people, especially right now. When incomes are limited, it allows for, you know, tangible upward mobility when you relieve these burdens up from people. And, you know, Joe Biden's like, yeah, we can talk about that. But then at a town hall, someone made the mistake of asking Uncle Joe for some money. And you know how that goes. So let's play this. This is from a town hall where, dude, just taking that thing that Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer were talking about. Yeah. We're going to dead that.
Loans are crushing my family, friends, and fellow Americans.
Me too.
The American dream is to succeed, but how?
He said.
They're not.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to pause that. And then he said, you think I'm kidding? Who?
They're Joe? Crushing Joe Biden? Student debts?
The homies from your gaming Discord? Like, who are you talking about?
Okay.
Who are you talking about? And he really, also his body language.
You think I'm kidding?
His arms are crossed across his chest.
This is when he
gets
mad. Yeah. When he knows he's wrong and his response is to get cranky and mean and angry.
Yeah, exactly. Because he knows he's going to have to look fucking... Well, I mean, he's a curmudgeon anyway.
Can I guess that a come on man is coming or something along those lines?
We'll take prop bets now if you want to lay it down. All right, we'll take that into account.
American dream is to succeed, but how can we fulfill that dream when debt is many people's only option for a degree? We need student loan forgiveness beyond the potential $10,000 your administration has proposed. We need at least a $50,000 minimum. What will you do to make that happen?
I will not make that happen. It depends on whether or not you go to a private university or a public university.
Oh, boy.
Damn.
My gosh.
You asked, you
He's
said.
He's already Jekyll and Hyde himself.
Hey, Mom, let me get some money so I could... put in on a limousine for prom. I will not make that happen. I'll sell drugs. But like, wow.
I mean, I know none of us trust politicians, but it's like, so he could have kept it up like a little bit longer where he could
He does try to pivot. Okay. He tries to explain why he's being cruel. And maybe for a second, listen to why this cruelty is necessary. We can get on the same page. This is his logic.
A private university or public university. It depends on the idea that I say to a community, I'm going to forgive the debt, the billions of dollars of debt for people who have gone to Harvard and Yale and Penn and schools, my children. I went to a great school. I went to a state school. But is that going to be forgiven rather than use that money to provide for early education for young children?
Okay, he's lost the plot. So he's pitting Ivy League people against just everyday people who are working to try and get an education to try and enter the workplace, because that's the way the game is set up here.
Because the most important thing is making sure that the wrong people don't get the benefit, as opposed to just making sure everybody gets the fucking benefit.
Well, here's the thing. If we start helping people, people who don't need help get helped, and that's fucked up.
Also, that's not true. Like, aside from the fact that there's like a low amount of black and brown students at these places, but like they have gotten a shot to get into an Ivy League. Like, I don't think that they should have to, which are twice as expensive, if not more. I don't think that they should be saddled with debt. the rest of their lives just because they went to an Ivy League school.
But even when you start breaking it down, right? Guess who's disproportionately impacted by student loan debt? Black and brown students. That's who.
Black students. It's not Ivy League students?
No. No. 77, it's weird that he brought almost 80% of black students borrow federal student loans. You know what I mean? And it's much higher than the national average. The other thing is too is like having this student loan debt above you directly relates to having a lower income. Mm-hmm. It's a burden. It limits you because you're so spread thin trying to fucking pay off these loans for an education that who is it? Is it even like most people are like, is it even worth it anymore? So Joe, you gotta fucking take a second, Joe, because you keep throwing it in people's faces that you forgot who fucking voted for you and what the fuck you said to even get people to even believe in this shit. I mean, that's why I think many people who had seen his record were like, well, let's not get too excited here about Joe Biden. But this is what's happening. But I think it's just a smack in the face given what's happening in the country to then just be like, this thing is also could really help black and brown Americans out for like I said, tangible upward mobility. But I'd rather get bogged down on like, well, maybe this kid who went to Penn is going to get some money off and then he'll use it on a fucking White Claw beer pong table. I don't know what the fuck. It's like,
right. It reminds me of like the there was a point during the primary, like Kamala Harris was talking about, like there were, it's just like, well, we will be forgiving student debt if this and then you fulfill that and you haven't made a payment. And it is like 20 different levels that you had to like boxes that you needed to check off. And it's so ineffective as politics and as actual policy that affects people's lives to just have 20 different things and like hoops that you have to run through. Like we just need simple policies that,
but then
help
that
people,
then that's like way too much money being spent. That's what's so, we just can't get over that. And we avoid like even logically gaming it out. Like, well, what happens, right? Cause if your point, Joe Biden, is that, well, what about like disadvantaged kids and getting into early childhood development? Who do you think the parents of these disadvantaged kids might have student debt too that they're paying off?
Yeah.
So I also want to say, aside from black and brown students having to more likely having to borrow, when they graduate, they also make less than their white counterparts doing the same job for the same amount of time. So mm-hmm. it takes them twice as long to even pay it off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's even more difficult once they do graduate because they're not paid the same for the same amount of work.
Right. I mean, you know, look, 50% of black students and 36% of like Latinx students default on their student loans. You know what I mean? Like that's who needs help. Like all people, anyone with this student, they're fucking fuck it. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if I had to pay for my college or whatever, but fuck. I'd rather look at a world that's treating people humanely than be like, well, I had to go through that shit.
And if they went to a state school, we should feel sorry for them, Miles, but not otherwise. I don't
like
know.
Me.
What is happening? Why does that? What are you talking about, man?
And then he moves on to be like, you know, the thing that I've been saying is community college should be free. It's like, Joe, that's not, she said her friends and family are being crushed by student debt. And you're saying, how about this? Hop in a time machine and go to a future where the community colleges are free, and then you can just have your associate's degree. And I don't know. And I get that you can get your associate's and then go to a 4-year and then get your bachelor's and things like that. But like, what? These aren't real solutions. They're really not. They're just these really disingenuous like pivots and lame talking points that completely ignore like the real thing that we're asking for is like, how are you going to help people like right now?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
All right. And let me take a step back and explain to you that I went to, I used to ride the train. So come on, man. Don't bring that bullshit in here.
Get that weak shit out of here. Anyway, help me open this PDF.
Anyways. I also want to say too, like I had a ton of, I just paid off $10,000 in medical debt. So right, some of us also have medical debt on top of student loan. Like whenever I see people on Twitter like, well, I saved up and I paid off my student loan debt. And I'm like, okay, but did you also have thousands of medical debt too? Because like some of us also have other debt.
Yeah, they're like, nope, never had to go to a doctor in 15 years.
But like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's such a privileged thing. And I'm like, so here's the thing. Yes, I paid off my $10,000. If another person had a $10,000 bill, I wouldn't wish that on them just because I paid mine off. I paid mine off because I sold a show and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a chunk of this money. But you should, that's never happens. That's like such a 1%, like that doesn't happen to people that they just get an influx
of
money.
You're out here selling a show to try and tackle your medical debt.
You know what I mean? That's sick.
It's not like that goes to my Bugatti fund.
Well, and then the gross thing was I had debt collectors calling me the last like 2 years about my medical debt. And it was like, sir, I didn't go to Vegas for the weekend. I was hospitalized, you know? Right. And it was like, I had autoimmune issues and I had heart issues. And I was like, an ambulance costs however much it costs. And it's just like insane. But it was sick. And I think they felt bad. Like, to be honest, I don't think anyone actually wants to take a debt collector like job. They are also they're also people that are struggling, but it was just like, hi, you're calling me and acting like I'm a piece of shit when I didn't go to like I didn't pay for like Super Bowl tickets, like I was in the hospital.
What's going on, Miss Fernandez? Sorry, I just have to stick to the script. Listen to me, piece of shit. You better pay. It's like, I think at the end of the day, we just have to keep reminding ourselves that there are certain things that just need to be rights.
Right.
And not things you have to afford to get into the club of. Can you get into the health club? Can you get into the education club?
Like, I mean, we talk about Democrats wanting to like keep the status quo because that they are kind of the party of the status quo at this point, where they're like trying to, you know, they are the party that is there to protect capitalism, not to solve people's problems. And I think with college, like we've talked before about how college is basically a social factory for like giving people the proper socialization to like enter the sort of upper like middle class, basically, and like have the proper like social connections, essentially. Like that's when people look at it, that's the thing that people find to be like the most important part of college, is like the social connections that you make. And so it makes sense to me that the Democrats would be protective of just letting anybody into college, because that is like a barrier that's built in to kind of protect the capitalism and the capitalists.
Well, that's how they like, you know, that's how they pretend it's progressive. Because it's like on a continuum, if you compare them at two different points in time, you're like, well, that was forward movement.
Right.
But it's like, it's so glacial and incremental that it doesn't, it's like they found ways to basically reinforce other money making industries. So when they go, all right, fuck it, we're pulling the plug on like making buku bucks on community college, I hope you set your traps for other places, then they can allow for that to happen. Cause that's just how it's never going to be like your ass out, under a Democrat plan, because then they're going to consult with your industry to make sure it's so, like, are you comfortable with this?
The Republican Civil War is almost not even worth mentioning. That was a story heading into the year in the mainstream media. Post the second impeachment, the only thing that is getting Republicans in trouble is anybody who voted to convict. That's like, they're getting censured by their home state parties, and it's over. Like, I mean, we knew that it was going to go back to the president, and but it's still Trump's party. He's in a better and better position, and you know, I feel like he didn't really make sense as a president because he can't actually do, like, he's not competent enough to do the things he promises. But I feel like he's going to be, like, as the dissident leader, like the critic of the person in power, who has like this huge groundswell of support, I think he's going to be very dangerous. And anybody who's counting that out or thinks that like he's his career is over is, I think, sorely mistaken.
So that is where that is at.
The polling is interesting when you look at it, though, too, right? Because within it, 63% of Republicans think that they need a third party. But then when you break that down, 40% think it needs to be more conservative.
Right.
A third thinks it should be the same, and a quarter is like, I'm out of here. Like, y'all are, I'm not this racist. So that's interesting that 25% are like, right now there's only 25, only a fourth of the Republicans are like, while the other three fourths are like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Others are like, turn it up even harder.
Yeah. And I just don't think, like, when the choice is between saying we were wrong to ever support and vote for him, or getting behind the groundswell of populist, racist energy that their party has at their back, they're going to do the thing they've done before, which is go with Trump.
If it's like, part of me is just so, like, it's weird. Part of me is like, where's that, like, old school dark arts Bush Cheney version of the party that would just like feel like they would disappear people for fucking going against, like,
oh my god,
it's like, it's I'm like rooting for that old bad guy to come fight this bad guy. I'm like, are they gonna fight now because you went after Liz Cheney? But nothing. So yeah, like you're saying, like, the dust is settled and that's where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Now it's going to be about who's going to put their money where and how that ultimately bears out in, like, polling and things like that. Because, I mean, when we say all these things that, like, yes, the Republican Party, the energy in there is wild toxic and going all over the place. But in terms of, like, the sentiment of Americans, at least a majority are now trending more towards, like, wish that bad, not again, no more. Mm-hmm. But how those are going to be reconciled, I think, is going to be really interesting. And we got, what, 18 months, basically, to figure that out.
Let's talk about this Texas mayor, the mayor of Colorado, Texas, population 4,000. He went on social media and told people to stop complaining. People whose power was out, who were freezing to death and who couldn't get clean water. I mean, it's almost worth just, like, reading word for word.
Yeah, look, I'll read his Ayn Rand for you from Tim Boyd, quote, "Let me hurt some feelings while I have a minute." Oh, my God.
Glad that you have a minute during a crisis.
Yo, that's Fat Joe saying, put the fucking mic on. And you're about to be like, what's humanity? So he says, no one owes you or your family anything, nor is it the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times.
It
like
literally
this.
Is. It quite literally is.
Holy.
Sink or swim, it's your choice. The city and county, along with power providers or any other service, owes you nothing. I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. If you don't have electricity, you step up and come up with a game plan to keep your family warm and safe. If you have no water, you deal without and think outside of the box to survive and supply water to your family. If you were sitting at home in the cold because you have no power and are sitting there waiting for somebody to come rescue you because you're lazy, that's a direct result of your raising. Only the strong will survive, and
thank
the weak
you,
will perish. But spelled perish wrong.
Everything is spelled wrong horribly. Yeah, this is a nightmare.
Folks, God has given us the tools to support ourselves in times like this. This is sadly a product of a socialist government where they feed people to believe that the few will work and others will become dependent for handouts. Am I sorry that you have been dealing without electricity and water? Yes, but I'll be damned if I'm going to provide for anyone that is capable of doing it themselves. We have lost sight of those in need and those, I don't know, we have lost sight of those in need? Yeah, that's right. And those that take advantage of the system and mesh them in one group. Bottom line, quit crying and looking for a handout. Get off your ass and take care of your own family. Bottom line, don't be part of a problem. Be a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. The way they are so obsessed with that term handout.
Yep.
They are so obsessed. This is always in my comments too, whenever I talk about either student loan forgiveness or whatever. It's just like inclusion. So ingrained in them. And I want to say, we literally pay taxes. So it is not it's literally your money. Like quite literally our money. Yeah. That we have to pay taxes
paying his
every
salary.
Single, yes, every, I would love to not pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And then you could be like, Danny, you never paid for anything. But no, we literally do.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I think part of the thing when you're paying like these utility taxes too, and you're paying for utility services.
Yes.
Part of the gag, the game, the relationship there is to be like, I'm paying for the fucking service. Where's my electricity? You have the right to ask for that. Now I understand that certain things out of their control happens, but to say that it's not the responsibility is such an absurd notion. But
it's not the responsibility of your power provider to provide you with power, I think was like almost a direct quote in there.
Yeah, right. So then people are like, what the fuck did this guy say? And he resigned. But then he fucking came back to Facebook just to clear shit up one time for your mind real quick, okay? This is him. And he deleted both posts like within minutes because he was like, I'm taking too many L's being taken at the moment. He says, quote, "All I have sat back and watched all this escalating and have tried to keep my mouth shut. I won't deny for one minute what I said in my post this morning. Believe me when I say that many of the things I said were taken out of context and some of which were said without putting much thought into it. I would never want to hurt the elderly or anyone anyone that is in true need of help to be left to fend for themselves. I was only making the statement that those folks that are too lazy to get up and fend for themselves but are capable should not be dealt a handout." He goes on basically saying, like, you misunderstand. It's the same point. You're just using more words to say right. the same thing, which is if you can't deal with it, then die, motherfucker. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird because I kind of feel bad for him in the sense that he's merely reflecting back everything that we see as
always
Americans.
Been told. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is
he's been told by Rush Limbaugh from day one.
Whether it's not said out loud or whatever, this is what the experience is for American people, which is work or die, be useful or die. If you can't afford to live, then fucking die. You want help, motherfucker, then move somewhere else. Oh, you were brought here against your will centuries ago? Sorry. That's really the tone of this. And yeah, like, it's funny that a lot of times we're like, why? How can people think like this? But we really need to have like a more concerted effort to be like, what's with our asshole problem here?
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? That it's just turned into this like scab of like, it's just hardened to the point where this guy would, basically say like, I don't give a fuck if your grandma freezes to death.
Right. But that's not who he's picturing. Right.
Yeah.
Like he's not picturing your grandma. He's picturing like
non-white people.
Right.
Everyday Americans or whatever. Yep.
Yeah. But
the idea that you're so like what I was going to say of some of my high school friends that are dealing with this right now, one of my friends who's still in Frisco had to go and stand in line for 4 hours trying to get firewood. And he has a baby. He has a wife and a baby. They have had no power. It is below freezing. As you've seen some of the pictures on Twitter, people will have, and they're like, people are like, don't forget to like have your pipes leak, like have them drip or whatever. And they're like, we've been doing that for days and they like still busted. And so their pipes burst. They have no electricity. And to keep warm, like literally they had to go and stand in line to get firewood. And it just was a line of cars for hours. And he said he spent 4 hours trying to get firewood so that his baby wouldn't freeze. And they turned him away. And so that's what people are dealing with. And the idea that it's like, well, you need to go out and, you know, slaughter a cow to feed your, like, it's just so insane. We're also like not, you know, the way that our society and system has been set up now, it's like you can't just go out and like chop down someone else's tree or just like take someone else's sheep and like take, you know what I mean? When you're living in like a suburban neighborhood. When he says that, like those are, he's probably thinking of people like my friend who did go out, you know, who is whatever, like it's also super ableist, I would say.
Absolutely.
And I hate the term lazy because I actually don't think that most Americans are lazy. I think that we live in such a scary society where you're bombarded with, you have student loan debt and a lot of people deal with massive amounts of depression living in this country. So I think it's actually just the effects of depression from being in this hellhole that is also just Earth just living right. on Earth. So I don't actually think.
But I think our little corner of hell.
Yeah, right. I actually think that you can't be lazy and live in this country because you would just die. Yeah, yeah. So everybody is fighting at all times to survive. I mean, you it's so expensive to even just exist.
You have to be extremely privileged to be lazy.
Like yes, that's the thing. You have to have a ton of money actually to be lazy.
This dude's probably sees lazy people around him because he's a privileged politician, and so he assumes that everybody's problems are their own fault because that's what Fox News has been telling him and Rush Limbaugh.
The bottom line is you can never present a problem to a Republican and they say it's a problem. You're right. They go, oh wow, that's a problem. We need to fix that. Never. Yeah. You can take that shit to the bank unless it's like, yeah, immigrants are a problem. But like, if you're saying, what the fuck just happened with that grid? Do we want to talk about this deregulated independent grid that we have and all this other shit? And the fact that the markets of electricity are set up that doesn't even incentivize maintenance or the updating of the grid because we're all about like cheap power as quickly as possible. All this other shit. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be like, we actually need to look at the body that was in charge of the utilities. Oh man, we need to look into snow terrorism. I think it's like what?
It's the same here. We've brought up the deregulated Texas energy market before because the story of Enron is like so cartoonishly just like what an amazing example of broken American economy and just everything, ethics. But just one kind of acute way that this problem illustrates the way America operates. We had a TDZ fan from San Antonio reach out and say their power's been out. The power company at first said it was going to be 15 minutes on, 45 minutes off just to conserve power, and said it's been off for days. And pointed out, my friends in wealthy neighborhoods have not lost power. This is true in at least three separate neighborhoods across the city. I've seen the downtown skyline just blazing its lights into the sky for the entire time. And that supports what the New York Times is reporting, which is that in any disaster, but including this one, when shit hits the fan, the poorer communities and communities that are more populated with people of color are the ones that lose power first and get it last. So the people who are probably have the least camping supplies, like have the least access to things that can save their lives, are the ones who are treated the worst by the system, by this deregulated energy industry.
Hey, that's where we're headed, baby. You know, like when all this shit gets privatized, this is the future you have to look forward to because there are no regulations on what you need to be, what the bare minimum is. They're going to look at you and be like, okay. Some people were saying like, because trying to generate the electricity was going to become so costly, they're like, you may want to cancel your service with us because your electrical bill could be wild because we're going to dump the cost onto the consumer.
Cool.
Like people are getting notices to be like, you may want to rethink that just as a courtesy.
Yeah.
That's our courtesy, is you may get body slammed on your next bill if you stay with us.
Fox News has been saying that it's because windmills are frozen, but you know, according to an energy fellow in the Department of Economics at the University of Houston, the failure is the result of the state's deregulated power system. Most of the it's actually like when you look at on balance the wind power for the day that everybody was saying the wind turbines were frozen, the wind power on balance overshot what the expectations were for that day. There were a couple examples of windmills freezing, but for the most part, they provided more energy than the energy companies were expecting. And the thing that shit the bed was natural gas. But this is part of a long-term campaign by Fox and Friends. You know, they were in the past couple of days saying, what would America look? Is this what America would look like under the Green New Deal? Tucker Carlson claimed that it was all due to Texas's reckless reliance on windmills.
The energy mix is 80% or 90% fossil fuels in Texas.
Yes.
Again, say that part out loud, Tucker Carlson. And I think the point you're talking about is the coastal windmills in Texas were the ones bringing more energy into the state because they weren't as affected and created a lot more than when the gas plants went down. So in the end, it actually did help the state, the wind turbines. It's like, God.
I mean, this is not going to be news to anybody, but just like reading this story, just for some reason, just every once in a while, I get just like smacked over the head and I'm just like, holy shit. Like, we are in a dystopian society where, like, when you think about the fact that most people in Texas's like primary news source is going to be Fox News, just thinking about how transparently illegal it should be for them to report the things that we just described. I don't know.
Greg Abbott, the governor's out here blaming other people. It's like people are dying in the state because of the inaction and like the callous attitudes towards how to solve anything of being like, because again, you present a Republican with a problem and it's not, oh my God, I'm the governor. Texans are dying under my watch. Well, this is unacceptable. It goes, oh, we actually need to talk to ERCOT, which is like the commission on energy and stuff in the state. It's like, we need to talk about I think that's the issue here. It's never, again, he could have been, we have to do something. Something needs to be done. I'm the governor and this is a problem. And that was, you know, can't admit any kind of failure or mistake. Yeah. So it just ends up perpetuating itself.
A big piece of content that was being circulated by conservatives was a photograph of a helicopter de-icing a wind turbine. They're like, look at this shit. Except that photo was from a 2014 test in Sweden. And
it should be illegal.
You need fuel to even clean the windmill. So come on, y'all. Remember that.
I think the scariest thing, aside from the fact that we need an upgraded grid system, and this has been a necessary thing for so long, especially in Texas, is that this will continue to happen. And that's, I think, what scares me the most, is that we will continue to have weather crisis from here on out, period. Oh, yeah. It's something that we have been having, that Texas is aware, aside from like Galveston seeing like, you know, devastation and things, like it's going to, our extreme weather is going to continue. And whether they want to deny it or not, it will hit them and happen to them. And so that's the thing that I find.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that, I mean, how much longer can you deny it for? And it's forever. Just like, instead they spent the past 4 years focusing on like who's allowed to go into what bathroom and who's allowed to marry who, as opposed to like, hey, the next decade is going to be a complete change for us and we're not prepared for it. And you're going to continue to see this stuff happening. I was in Texas when Hurricane Katrina hit and we had all new students coming to us from New Orleans, like a ton of my coming from New Orleans to Texas. So a ton of my students, when I was in high school, had to come because they were not being served or having help there. And that's also going to happen in Texas. Like we're going to continue to have, and here in California, all of us are going to get hit with weather crises, and it's frustrating that after seeing this, they will probably still not do enough for the next time when it happens. And they probably also think like, oh, God did this.
Right.
God is giving us some snow, you know, or whatever. It's just like, they just don't believe, they can deny it, you know, but it's going to continue to happen. And that's what I think is frustrating, that they need to get a lot of those officials out of there, and someone who's going to accept that this is the new way of life. This is our, just like we're going to have to accept wildfires here being a regular, you know, massive thing that keeps happening to us.
And embracing the fact that the U.S. is a failed state. Right. Okay. You want to spike the football on these other countries talking about, oh, we're the best. You have people in the state that generates the most energy not being able to access energy, and people like accidentally burning their houses down because they're trying to figure out other ways to generate heat and things like that. And we're still going to feel good about ourselves as a country. the leadership in the state should be ashamed that that happened. And then the fact, but, and I think that's where you hope at a certain point. I don't know what, because the explanations out of the right only get more absurd. And I don't think they're ever going to go the other way. I mean, we watched a full-on mob rush the Capitol, and people who were almost got hurt were like, nah, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. So I can't imagine, even if a fucking avalanche blew down, you know, Greg Abbott's home, he'd still be like, oh, it's Antifa or something. Yeah. Just like, it'll never, because that's just sort of like, it's like a mentality that's become a party more than anything. Mm. It's like this way of just maneuvering through the world. It's not really about any, there's like nothing philosophical or ideological about it. It's just like a way of preserving your ego.
Yeah. The Rick Perry came out and said Texans should be willing to go without power for a couple of days to honor the deregulation gods, basically. Deregulation is just basically like every man for himself, but applied to a market economy, which, as Enron illustrates, does not work in good times. And as this and every disaster and the pandemic illustrates, is really fucked when it comes to, not good times. And just to put the Fox News thing in some context, they've been pushing anti-wind power conspiracies for years now. In 2019, Tucker Carlson claimed that wind power wouldn't be able to heat homes in the winter, which ignored the fact that Alaska has incredibly successful wind farm energy. 2018, he cited the widespread noise pollution from wind turbines, which is false, alleged they provide precious little energy, false, and added that turbines kill a lot of birds. And this has been a thing that they really focus on a lot. And as our writer JM points out, Tucker Carlson is the heir to the Swanson Frozen Food Company.
Hilarious.
Who make all their money off of, like, you know, murdering chickens and turkeys. So the fact that that's something he acts like he's worried about. In 2011, all the way back then, Greg Gutfeld called wind power the Ted Bundy of bird killers, which, gross, also misleading, because wind turbines do kill birds, but less than building glass and vehicles, and way less than cats. Cats kill 2.4 billion birds each year.
Wow.
And we're not talking about that. We're not talking about Randy Johnson, the big
thank
unit.
You.
I saw him straight murk a bird with a ball once. And we're not.
Wow.
But yeah. And don't want to acknowledge it.
A 2009 study found that fossil fueled power stations are responsible for nearly 15 times more bird deaths than wind farms. And that is their bet. The best they can do is point to birds being killed by
on
wind.
On Fox,
turbine.
Someone said also Texas was, quote, totally reliant on windmills.
Yep.
Also.
Nailed
and
it.
Again, 80 to 90% of that energy mix is generated from fossil fuels. Just fucking, you can look that up. But you know what? We're not interested in that, because I just said that because I'm not interested in facts. I'm just interested in going full steam ahead and protecting my sense of self.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to wrap things up.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Rush Limbaugh died yesterday. I think he's best remembered, in his own words, with his own content. Let's just list off a couple of the things from the New York Times, Obit, not like from, you know, so just a person on Twitter. From the New York Times, Obit. In the Limbaugh lexicon, advocates for the homeless were compassion fascists. Women who favored abortion were feminazis. Environmentalists were tree-hugging wackos. He had delivered AIDS updates with a Dionne Warwick song, I'll Never Love This Way Again, ridiculed Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's disease symptoms, and called global warming a hoax. On the AIDS update thing, there's a, somebody pointed out, like, that's, that doesn't give you the full... he used to read the names of people who died and have celebratory moments whenever another AIDS victim died, which he called the AIDS updates. Yeah, and then he lied about a bunch of shit constantly.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because Dionne Warwick was like one of the first celebrities to really come out in support of like the fighting against the AIDS epidemic. So right. That's why. So he was trolling. Oh, jeez. Cool.
And for the people, there's also this like... even from like the New York Times, there's like this begrudging, but you got to hand it to the guy. And like, I think we're learning from all the hacks who like got canceled and immediately gone to become like right-wing celebrities after years of being like middling mainstream media personalities or, you know, failed screenwriters and terrible novelists in Ben Shapiro's case, that it's not as hard to get an audience when you're telling white supremacists and misogynists the lies they already want to believe. Like that's just because you have a huge audience doesn't mean you are talented. That just means that you tapped into a vein in the country that is fucking evil and disgusting.
All they're doing is saying problematic shit, but real witty. And with charisma. That's the difference. It's no different than when someone's yelling hate speech at someone. It's that like you've now turned it into a segment where you're playing music and there's a spectacle to this sort of content. And I think that's why a lot of failed comedians end up doing so well. It's because it's like, yeah, I'm just going to do like mean jokes basically, but as an ideology and just talk like that all the time and say everyone's disgusting or freaks or what the fuck. And people are going to, just be like, hey, man, he said it better than I could have. That's funny. He made up his own racial slur. I'm going to use that now.
I also think it's hilarious that same with the people that did the attack on Congress is that they consider themselves outcasts when they are like the actual most privileged people in the world.
Right.
Like that to me is just so, I don't know, someone should do a documentary. I'm fascinated and horrified by the psychology behind, like you said, like failed comedians who then they have nowhere to go. So they join the alt-right, which is like several people that have been in our industry that I've known who have like gotten canceled, that we've watched get canceled and go over there. But like so many of them carry this like out, like I'm the one that's harmed, and it's like they're literally some of the most privileged people in this country, you know? Right. And it's just so, I also wonder if they actually believe what they're saying. What, like if they were on our side, they got rejected or canceled, and now they go over there, like do they actually believe the stuff that they're saying, or are they aware that they're just cashing in? Like, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I think a lot of it is like this weird thing that whiteness specifically can do to American people, which is on one hand tell you you're the best, you're number one, and you should have everything. But then if you're a working class white person, your lived experience is nothing like that. So in a way that like begins a feeling of like, I should have, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Even though you are benefiting massively, look, mm-hmm. You got to beat a police officer with a hockey stick.
Yes.
But there's still this feeling. It's like they also know that the treatment of people could be better, whether they want it or not. I think there is this feeling of like it could be better, but I don't know how to articulate that. So I'm really just going to stay angry and be on this other, you know, regressive programming, which is point the finger and yell at everybody except myself or the country that is responsible for this.
I watched Judas and the Black Messiah over the weekend, and one of the things that jumped out to me is that Fred Hampton, before he was assassinated by the FBI, was uniting like poor white people
mm-hmm.
and, you know, with gangs and just all like uniting across underprivileged classes. And that's the thing that I feel like is underrepresented about when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated is he was in Memphis on a anti-poverty movement, and he was in the midst of an anti-poverty mm-hmm. like supporting unions, supporting people trying to make it a class movement as opposed to specifically racial. And that seems to be the thing that the uniting of those factions really seems to scare the shit out of the ruling class.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the Cruella trailer dropped. We talked about how the poster looked like shit yesterday on trending, but the trailer looks kind of fun.
Very, very dark.
Yeah.
Very jokery.
Yeah.
But it looks fun. I mean, the visual aesthetic of it, I'm like, oh, this looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't realize. It's funny when I'm like, it's a character who I didn't ever really thought about what a backstory could look like. And so the trailer was like showing me what that was. And I was like, oh shit, Cruella was into some shit, huh? Okay. I see her. She's a getaway girl.
I feel like that's probably also from Maleficent, because they had a couple of, you know, that was like one of their first ones where they were like, let's look at the origin story of some of these these villains.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Mitchell, who's a comedy writer, tweeted this morning. He said, I've always wanted to see a sympathetic origin story for a character whose main ambition in life is to kill a very large, specific number of small dogs. I do think that it's funny that we're supposed to, like, you know, we're supposed to be sympathetic for her.
Right.
Same with Maleficent. When you watch, it's like why she broke bad, like what happened to her that made her a villain. And so I do think it's funny that we're going to be like, oh, she's just misunderstood and also skins alive animals.
Right. Right.
Like,
give her a chance. I don't know. This is kind of hard.
Yeah. That's been one of the main rules of movies is that you can't kill dogs generally. And if you do, it has to be like a super big, like building up to that point. Like that is a emotionally crushing thing for a movie audience. And
it's like the I Am Legend shit.
Yeah, the I Am Legend thing. Like it has to be the main thing where you're just like, oh, this trailer like does show us Dalmatians, but they're mean. They're the meanest Dalmatians I've ever seen. Like they just make them like vicious. Like when she walks into a room, they're like, so mad at her. It's like, so
dogs read energy.
Right.
Do they go edgy with it and they actually show her just like doing wild animal abuse? And you're like, this wasn't a kid's film. I paid also, $75 for this on Disney Plus.
It would make more sense if she was like Selena, like a Catwoman.
Yeah.
Like that would make more sense. Like Michelle Pfeiffer's like cat, like if she were surrounded, which I don't think she is or that I could tell, but like that would make more sense to me if she were like, oh, my precious, or if a dog killed her cat when she was growing up. And so now she has like a vendetta against dogs. Like that makes a lot of sense to me if she's a cat.
But in the end, we're still being like, that'll make sense for her to then want to kill 101 Dalmatians.
Right.
It's sort of the end point. We're like, I mean, okay. Like,
I get it.
I'll silo this as its own thing and just be like, you know, go off, Cruella.
I also don't like how much can it be a kids movie because like kids aren't into anti-heroes. Like when I show my kids Breaking Bad, they're like, "What? Why is that guy such a jerk, Deb?"
I can't think of any.
When I show my kids Breaking Bad, they didn't like that scene, that Rat Patrol scene where they got all the snitches.
Yeah,
that coordinated hit.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually can't think of any villain movies that I've enjoyed as a kid. That's true.
That's like when you become. I felt like that was me thinking I was becoming an adult. I watched it like that, I'm like, yo, that fucked up person. Actually, I like that character.
Right.
Because my parents just got divorced, and now I can see the spectrum of pain in life. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Be interesting. But anyways, Danny, as always, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm at Ms. Dani Fernandez, MSDANIFERNANDEZ on Twitter and Instagram. And also I'm on Clubhouse, which some people are using, but that's just at Dani Fernandez.
What do you do on there?
It's like I did a panel for Gloria Calderon-Kellett, who's a showrunner for One Day at a Time, asked me to be on a panel about breaking into Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And so it's an audio forum. So it's like a big room that hundreds of people can be in, but like there's selected speakers and you can raise your hand, kind of like in Zoom or BlueJeans, if you guys have had to use that during this time. But I personally, it gives me a little bit of anxiety doing it because I can't see anyone. So
it's like doing like a big conference call. Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, that's literally actually, that's exactly it. And sometimes people talk over each other and...
Right.
There are some really good people were talking about the stock market. Like they had people on there that were breaking it down. There's also casting directors that talk about like how to do a good audition. Like, so you can learn things in a lot of these. Or if you're Lakeith Stanfield, there's a moaning room. It was just men moaning.
Oh,
and he popped in there and was moaning and you can't see anyone. Right. So Lakeith, like popped into the moaning room and was just like moaning in there. So you will not find me in the moaning rooms. Mm. Also, when we were talking about like reboots and casting and stuff up top, I had wanted him for Willy Wonka. I still want him if they're going to reboot it.
Holy shit. He would be so good
because they're thinking of Tom Holland or Timothy Chalamet. And I'm like, there are more people in this industry, I swear to God. But I think Lakeith would be fun and wild. He's Janelle so Monáe is another one, obviously, and she also dressed up like him. So either of those, I think, are more interesting and could do a lot more with discovering different aspects of the... Also, he's fictional. Like, this is what I say about all these characters whenever people are like, but he's white. He's also not real. He's literally, quite literally not real. That's how I feel about all of the DC and Marvel characters as well. They were made up, and they were also made up typically in the 50s and 60s when Black and brown people weren't allowed to be on a lot of these comics. So we only had a very small select few, which were great, but also it's really okay. If we switch out,
we'll let you rap and stuff, you know what I mean? And continue to appropriate the culture left and right. But I think we can switch out a couple of the physical bodies for these made up characters.
Like it'll literally be okay.
It's one thing if you're doing a hologram of your father for a memorial service and it's like, well, that's not my dad was not Taiwanese. But maybe there's not creative license for a hologram memorial. But if we're talking about fictitious people.
People said this about Game of Thrones, like not to go on my tangent, but really quickly, people would say like, well, it's just there's not a lot of Black and brown people because it's, you know, historically they weren't. Weren't around during the dragon time. When was the dragon time? Right. I missed the dragon time. They're like, yeah, but during that time, and I'm like, when? When was that time? Tell me history.
Okay, I will. For one second, may I answer your question with another and with a question, which is, Danny, do you speak Westerosi? Okay, I want to start there so I know where we're starting this debate from.
Anyway, that is my. Anytime someone says that, I'm like, it's a television show. It is. It's a fake. This woman had dragons coming out of her. Like, this is not. Real. Anyways, you can have Black and brown people.
Man, Cersei was a Black woman. Woo! Shit.
Speaking of Lakeith Stanfield, he needs to be nominated for Judas and the Black Messiah. Yeah. Did y'all know that, and Daniel Kaluuya too, but did you guys know that the Academy Award cutoff is like late February this year?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense, but I didn't, like, nobody's really talking about that.
You could game the awards this year because few things came out that suddenly you're like, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the best. I don't have an opinion on anything this year.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, shit. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray and also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Let's see. A tweet that I like. This is from Brody Reed, and a sentiment a lot of comedians in the LA area have talked about, and this is kind of inside baseball, but I will just say this tweet. He says, quote, spent all morning trying to think of creative things to say about Rush and couldn't think of anything mean enough. Probably not going to get the Jon Stewart thing, not going to lie. Shout out to everybody submitting for that Jon Stewart.
Yeah, churning. Good,
oh, and then
good
one
list
more.
Of
sorry,
people submitting though that show might be dope.
And just one more because it sort of piggybacks on that from Robert Evans at I Write Okay. Why speak ill of the dead when you can sing?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there are so many good Rush tweets. Tweet I was enjoying. DC Pearson tweeted: is Twitter the only hobby whose practitioners regularly lament everything about it? I'm just imagining a bunch of bullers sitting around the alley going, fuck this place, this is hell. Find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information as well as a song that Miles is recommending. That we are no longer playing at the end of the show. I think a lot of people are like, wait, you guys forgot to put the song in. We're not doing that anymore.
No, we didn't do that. Plus, man, you gotta just go out there, listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't you want an audio handout?
Yeah, it'll taste so much better when you go do the work yourself. That's why we're doing it.
But this track is an edit of a Masego track called Navajo, which is dope. If you haven't seen the color show version of it on YouTube, check that out. But it's a remix by Ikani, E-K-A-N-Y. It's Navajo, but the Masego flip. So check this out on SoundCloud. And it's, oh man, it's great. It's wonderful. It's just got like, because if you don't know Masego, amazing. It plays sax, does dope looping. Great singer, and then just when you add a little bit of a remix on it, it just takes things to a whole other place. So
yeah, you can go listen to that right now on the playlist.
There you go.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.